Australian companies will now have to report on their efforts to stamp out slavery in their supply chains under the new Modern Slavery Act. The legislation, which will come into effect on the 1st of January, aims to ramp up Australia's efforts to combat slavery in the modern era. Victor Petrovich asked Professor Paul Redman from the University of Technology Sydney's Faculty of Law what kinds of slavery this legislation will deal with.
Covers a broad field. It's not specific to any one type, but I suppose you would think first of all of manufacturing, including garment manufacture, factory garment workers such as those who died in a great number in the Rana Plaza factory collapse. You'd think also of construction workers, people in logistics, agricultural workers, people, for example, on Thai fishing boats for years. Construction also, I think I've mentioned, that they'd be some of the major industries.
And how relevant are these kinds of slavery to our consumer culture in Australia?
Well, many of the consumer products which are so central to our lives, our shirts, our clothing, other items of fashion, the elements in our mobile phones, in our computers, they're the food that our cats eat. Across the spectrum, there is our concerns about the forced labour, aspects of slavery in their production, and the serious labour abuses, for example, in factory circumstances. So many workers from the Asia-Pacific region, because of considerations of poverty, leave home to find having negotiated arrangements with recruitment agencies that see them in a form of debt bondage for overseas employment. For example, the Football World Cup that we'll watch in 2022 will enjoy enormously from Qatar is the construction of those stadia of migrant workers from across this region in great numbers in circumstances where many of those, if not most, have left home under a form of bonded labour, which will see them tied to that particular employment. Employment, in many cases, the employment different to that which they thought they'd be receiving and in conditions different to that which they had anticipated. This is a form of bond slavery which we enjoy the products of it only indirectly through our viewing and enjoyment of that spectacle. Nonetheless, we're tied to through the global economy, which has served to tie us all together through invisible bond and connections which in many cases are vitiated by the exploitation of the labour of other people.
And what does this Modern Slavery Act ask of Australian companies?
Well, it asks of those companies whose consolidated revenue is above $100 million, and that's quite a large figure. The corresponding figure under the UK Act is approximately $65 million. It asks those companies to file each year what's called a modern slavery statement, reporting on the risks of modern slavery in their own operations, those of their controlled entities, their subsidiaries and other entities they control, and of their supply chains, the risk of modern slavery in those three areas, and also to make an assessment of those risks to prioritise them, in effect. Look at the ones that are most salient because, for example, of their scale, their severity, or their irremediable character, and state also what they've done to address those risks, and also to assess the effectiveness of that response. That's the primary reporting obligation, and that will go in a public register maintained by the Commonwealth Government.
And do you think the legislation goes far enough to deal with modern slavery?
Look, I think it's a great first step, but there is no formal legal penalty for an entity that fails to file a report or files one that is obviously perfunctory and incomplete. The penalty that the government introduced in amendments introduced into the Senate passed last week was that the minister would have a power to, in effect, to name and shame by putting a company which he or she believed to be non-compliant to name them upon that public register. But the force of the sanction, effectively, of this reporting requirement is that people interested in that company's activities, whether they're institutional investors, consumers, other NGOs, will take an interest and will exercise a discipline upon the company that the sanction of their interest will be effective to drive compliance. I'd have to say that in the United Kingdom experience, because we've had this legislation now for 3 years there, there's a very high level of non-compliance by even the largest listed companies who are clearly subject to its requirement.
Do you think this legislation has the potential to increase prices or result in worse economic outcomes for Australian consumers?
I can't see that it does. This is a process of assessing risk and tailoring a response which ought to be part of the business model of any company that has a brand that is selling into consumer markets. Reputation is an important part of the value of that enterprise and its primary asset. So I think this is part of an ordinary process. It formalises it, it brings it to the attention of the wider community, but is it really the costs of doing this ought to be part simply of doing business, and I don't think they're going to be onerous, and I can't see that they have some price impact upon consumers.
But if a company is saving money by using slave labour or profiting from slavery, and the price of creating their goods goes up based on not being able to do that anymore, do you think there's a chance that that cost increase may be passed on to consumers?
Well, look, I suppose it could well be if that was the case. Do we really, as consumers, want to benefit from the slavery of others? I can't imagine any consumer would willingly want to say, put their hand up and say, yes, I want to benefit from slavery.
Professor Paul Redman from the University of Technology, Sydney's Faculty of Law, ending a report by Victor Petrovic.